كأجر الحاج المحرم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept within the Islamic calendar certain special moments. Inna lillahi lanafahatun min rahmatihi. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, within the calendar, Allah has kept certain times and places of significance, of greatness, wherein the winds of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy blow very strongly upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The doors of Allah's bounties and blessings, the doors of goodness, the doors of progress, the doors of success are wide open. We have the month of Ramadan, and who doesn't know the bounties and the blessings and the barakat of the month of Ramadan? We have the 10 days of Muharram, and then we have the current period of the Islamic calendar, which is known as the Mawsim, the season of Hajj, which commenced with the moon of Shawwal. Eid al-Fitr was celebrated, and which will terminate on the 10th of Zulhijjah, when the Hujjaj will perform their Tawaf al-Ziyara. They will make wukuf in Arafah the day before that. This entire period, this entire season, the Mawsim of Hajj, is a very special and significant time in the Islamic calendar. And this is generally a time where the topic of many conversations within our homes, within our businesses, outside the masjid, and amongst family members and friends, who is going for Hajj? Whose name has come out? Who are those fortunate individuals who are to be called this year? He has booked his ticket. He has booked his package. Which agent is he going with? How many weeks is he going for? And within these questions and discussions lies the yearning and desire in the heart of each and every person. No matter how near or how far he may be from deen, but the spark of iman within the heart creates that desire, creates that yearning, that, oh Allah, if only my name also could be called. If only I am also amongst those fortunate ones to be invited to your house. If only the finances would fall into place. If only the obstacles would all be removed. And the pathway to Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara would become an easy one for me. And this in itself, my dear brothers, we learn from the Quran Sharif, is a sign of iman within the heart. وَمِنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that person who will show honor, who will treat with significance, with reverence, the salient features of the deen of Allah, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, this is a sign of the taqwa and the iman within your heart. The yearning is there, the desire is there. But together with this, my dear brothers, the reality of the matter is, it will just be a select number of individuals who will be called. Perhaps from a community of 2,000 or 3,000, it will just be 2 or 3 people that will go. From a masjid of 200 musallis, there may be just 1 or 2 that will be called. Where does that leave the remaining part and portion of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And how do we approach the Mawsim, the season of Hajj? On one hand, we have the life lessons from the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But understand this much, my dear brothers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not left us yateem and orphan. Allah has given us also the pathways to reach Him. And therefore, when we look through the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn that there are a number of a'mal, of actions, of practices, some of them very easy to carry out, which barely cost any money, which a person does not have to expend much effort in doing. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in His mercy and generosity is prepared to give us the reward of Hajj through these actions. On one hand, the person who makes the effort to go for Hajj, and this in no way does it mean that we downplay the physical Hajj, but on one hand, the effort that is behind it, booking of the tickets, the money that has to be paid, and the expenses incurred, and then he's got to choose his agent, which package is he taking. The journey itself is an arduous journey. The weather may not be to his liking, the crowd may not be to his liking, and all of the challenges associated with the physical journey of Hajj. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is prepared that person who is unable to go. And he was not from the fortunate ones to be called, here is the pathway to find and secure the reward of Hajj. Four actions we find in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and perhaps there are more. One is the hadith of Abu Umama al-Bahili radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains, من خرج من بيته متطهرا إلى صلاة مكتوبة. That person who leaves his home, his goal, his final destination is the masjid. He leaves home with the intention of performing his fard salah, something which we are expected to do 5 times a day. But he leaves home in the condition of wudu, of taharat. He takes special care to make wudu at home, mutatahiran. On this small action of making wudu at home, he shows his initiative before Allah, that it may cost a few rands, a few liters of water, but I will use my funds. I will not use the masjid funds unnecessarily. He shows that I am prepared for salah ahead of its time. He shows that he is thinking of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even before leaving his home. What is Allah prepared to give him? أَجْرُهُ كَأَجْرِ الْحَاجِّ الْمُحْرِمِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says his reward is like the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. Every step of the haji in the heat of Makkah Mukarrama, and amongst the crowd of the hujjaj that have gathered, and this person is driving in his air-conditioned vehicle to the masjid. But every step of his, every kilometer that he passes, every meter that he moves, he will secure the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. Just on making wudu at home, this, my dear brothers, has perhaps become a forgotten sunnah, a forgotten practice amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look into the history of Islam, we will find the early masajid of Islam did not have wuzu khanas. Wuzu khana was brought into the masjid as a provision for the traveler. That person who finds an emergency, perhaps his wuzu broke, he needs to relieve himself, and now he needs to make wuzu. But the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, make one's wudu at home. The reward will be the reward of the haji. Then the second hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is the narrator. That person who reads his fajr salah in the masjid, and then he remains seated for a short period of time. Yadhkurullah, he remembers Allah in that time. Whether he reads some tasbihat, he reads his surah Yasin, he makes the dhikr of Allah in any form or way. Hatta tatlu'a ash-shams, and he waits until sunrise. Currently, the salah time or the fajr time in many of our masajid is about 20-25 minutes, half an hour before sunrise. In other words, he sits for 20-25 minutes and he makes the dhikr of Allah. And then when the sun has risen, then he stands up and he performs 2 rakats of salah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reports that his reward will be the reward of hajjatin wa umrah. One hajj and one umrah. Sahaba ask, O Nabi of Allah, this seems too good to be true. 2 rakats of salah and he secures the reward of hajj, the reward of umrah. And as we mentioned, the expenses behind it, the time that it takes to perform the Hajj and Umrah, the accreditation process, and everything else that goes with it. And 2 rakats of salah, he secures the reward. O Nabi of Allah, are you sure that he will get the full reward? Look at the response. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, O my sahaba, tamma, tamma, tamma. He repeats himself, his reward will be complete, complete, complete. An entire Hajj and Umrah, just on 2 rakats of salah. Allah is prepared to give us these rewards, my dear brothers, every day of our lives. Making wudu before we leave the home, remaining for just a few minutes after the fajr salah. Many of us will go home, those 15 or 20 minutes will be spent doing nothing most of the time. But the person takes out these moments in the morning. He starts his day with the remembrance of Allah. He makes Allah the goal, the qibla of the day. On this initiative, Allah is prepared to give him these rewards. And then perhaps something that is even easier than this. The third hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to secure the reward of Hajj. Man sabbaha Allah mi'atan bil ghadat wa mi'atan bil ashi. That person who will take out any moment of time in the morning or the evening No specific time, no fixed time. He can work it according to his schedule, according to his work times. And he will recite the tasbih of Allah 100 times. What will perhaps take 3 or 4 minutes maximum. He does not even have to set aside a time for this. He can do it as he is driving home, as he is driving to his place of work. Then his reward will be as though he performed Hajj. And not just one Hajj. كَانَ كَمَنْ حَجَّ مِئَةَ مَرَّةَ Allah says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it will be as though he performed Hajj 100 times. These are authentic narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear brothers. The desire, the yearning, the feeling that comes into the heart, I want to go for Hajj. The catalyst, what is behind it? What spurs me on? What creates the desire to secure the reward? To secure the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah says, do it in your local masjid. Do it within the comfort of your home. But don't give up this opportunity. Don't lose the opportunity. Every day of your life, you can secure the reward of Hajj. And then the fourth hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and something of particular importance in today's time. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. O Nabi of Allah, inni ashtahil jihad wa la aqdiru alayh. O Nabi of Allah, I have desire to take part in jihad, but I do not have the means right now. What do I do? He had a yearning within him. He wanted to take part. He wanted to be a part of that group of sahaba. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, hal baqiya min walidayka shay? That are any of your parents still alive? He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah, my mother is still alive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, فَأَبْلِلَّهَ فِي بِرِّهَا That, O my sahabi, ask of Allah, please Allah through obedience to your mother, you will secure the reward of the haji, of the mu'tamir, the one who performed umrah, of the mujahid, the one who fought in the path of Allah. You will secure all of these rewards by pleasing your parent, by pleasing your mother. This, my dear brothers, unfortunately, the times have become such that young and old respect for parents is a commodity that is fast decreasing, that is no longer found in many homes, especially those who have elderly parents. How strange that that child who at one stage relied on his parents for something as simple as taking a sip of water. He was unable to consume a grain of rice or to take a sip of milk without the assistance of his parents. He was unable to cleanse himself without the assistance of his parents. And yet, as he now gains strength and he reaches an age where he is financially secure, where he is physically stable, he has energy on his side, he has resources with him, and now his parents, they begin to decline physically, perhaps mentally. They are no longer as sharp as they once were. They now begin to say things out of turn. They begin to make questionable decisions. And he says, I cannot tolerate seeing my parents any longer. I cannot tolerate showing respect to my parents any longer. Every word of theirs troubles me. Every decision of theirs irritates me. Understand, my dear brothers, we are sacrificing the reward of Hajj and Umrah every day of our lives. That person who will smile at his parents, he will show respect to his mother and father, regardless of their condition, regardless of their decision making. One businessman mentions his personal incident. He says, I reached an age where I was able to take over from my father the family business. My father had given his blood and his tears towards that business. And he had a few regulations in place, how he would go about administering and managing that business. But as times began to change, I had new ideas and I had methods of expanding the business, of making, turning a larger profit, and I would present these to my father. But he was very stubborn in his approach and he refused to see eye to eye with me. He says that he sought the advice of an alim, that this is what is happening in the business on a day-to-day basis. He says, I would go to the office in the morning, and by evening I would see the funds leaving our account. But I was powerless to stop it. He refused to change his ways. So he goes to this alim to seek advice, to seek counsel. How do I approach this situation? So the person says to him, the alim advises him, or he poses a question to him. He says, what was the objective and the purpose of your business? Is the purpose to turn a larger profit, or is the purpose to obey and fulfill the command of Allah, to earn sustenance for your family? He says, to obey and fulfill the command of Allah. He says, in that case, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, رِضَ الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ, the pleasure of Allah is in pleasing your father. Go along with your father's decisions. He says, I had to swallow my pride. And day by day I would lament that if only I was in charge of the decision making, where and where this business would not have reached. Nevertheless, he narrates the incident 5 or 6 years later. His father had then passed on. He says, I take a qasam, I take an oath in Allah's name. The barakat and blessings that I saw in my business, the blessings that I enjoyed in my wealth, and in what I inherited from my father when he left this world, he says, I take a qasam in Allah, it is 10 times more than what I would have expected. Had I made those decisions those years ago, we may have turned over a greater profit initially, but the barakat and blessings of listening to my father, of showing respect to him, of affording him that dignity in his old age, Allah created the barakat and blessings in my wealth. So one is to obey our parents, my dear brothers, but as we mentioned, during this period of the year, which is the mawsim, the season of Hajj, where the yearning is there that I wish I could secure the reward of Hajj, these four actions in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that person who leaves home in the condition of wudu and then performs his salah in the masjid, then the hadith of Anas bin Malik, that person who will read 2 rakats of Salatul Ishraq in the morning. Then the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that person who will make tasbih of Allah 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. And the final hadith, that person who will obey and respect his parents or either one of them. These are all independent actions to secure the reward of Hajj. And then to sum it up, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, one of the great ulama of Islam, he says that above all of these actions, that person who wishes to secure the pleasure of Allah, that person who wants to realize the objective of Hajj, which is to please Allah, to get closer to Allah, he says there is no greater way, there is no easier way than fulfilling the fard obligations Allah has placed upon us. And he quotes the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or the hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah himself says that there is no action that a person can use to gain my closeness that is more beloved to me than the fara'id. His fard salah, if zakat is fard upon him, to discharge his zakat. Whatever fard obligations that Allah has placed upon a person, by virtue of paying attention to this and ensuring that we fulfill these obligations, that person will secure the objective of Hajj, which is the pleasure of Allah, which is the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned in the beginning, my dear brothers, we are not in any way downplaying the significance of the physical Hajj. That remains the pinnacle, that remains the goal, that remains the objective and desire of each and every person. And Allah opened the doors, Allah removed the obstacles. It is not our finances, it is not any accreditation, it is not any organization that will take a person. The hadith of Tabari, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after building Baytullah, Allah instructs him, O Ibrahim, adhin finnas, that now call out amongst the people, invite them to visit my home. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, O Allah, who will hear my call? Allah says, O Ibrahim, you carry out my task. You make the announcement, I will facilitate it reaching the people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, those souls that responded to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in turn Allah will create the means for them to perform Hajj in this world. So it is not any external means, my dear brothers. The desire should be there, the yearning should be there. But at the same time, if the conditions are such that I have not been called this year, then these actions have been given to us. Allah has not left us without any hope. Allah has not left us without any opportunity. Let us take advantage of these. Whether it be the 2 rakats at the time of Ishraq, whether it be making wudu at home, with the intention of securing the reward for Hajj, Allah will look at our desire. Allah will look at us taking the first step, and ultimately Allah will then open the doors and call us for the physical journey of Hajj. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.